I heard a conversation the other week just outside Tesco, and I'm not at liberty to name names, mainly because I don't know who the people were, but I'm sorry if it was you. But somebody said, it was that day the other week, I remember when the sun shone, and we call it spring, most people call it Wednesday, but one person said to the other, isn't it a lovely day? I'd love to see the sunshine. Another one said, oh yes, it is. And then she paused and she said, if only it would last. That's the Scottish way, isn't it? Rather than just enjoy the sunshine, if only it would last. And somehow it got me thinking about the theme for this morning, the passage for this morning, because here's these two guys walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, quite downcast, I would have thought. And I got to thinking, what if this had happened in Glasgow? What if two men from Glasgow were walking along the Gallagate, which is kind of equivalent to the road to Emmaus, and Jesus came alongside them, and then they didn't recognise him, then they recognised him. I think the conversation might have gone, one would have said to the other, I'm glad we never left the house 10 minutes later. We might have missed him. That's the Scottish way. And I wonder, though, if we in Glasgow or in Scotland can claim a monopoly in that kind of attitude. Here's these two men walking home from Jerusalem, a journey of about 7 miles, which would probably have taken them about an hour and a half to walk normally. Remember, everybody walked in these days, couldn't afford cars. But this day would have taken them longer. They were sad, they were disconsolate, they were despondent. They were probably walking home with their heads down from this Passover, a Passover like none other in history. And as I hear this, I have a picture in my mind of these two sad men, not particularly having a conversation, but maybe just thinking out loud to one another, probably not even listening to one another as they were talking. Walking more slowly, Emmaus was their hometown. They were walking back, and Jesus comes up and walks alongside them. What kind of picture do you have in your mind? Isn't that just like Jesus, to just come up and walk alongside? Do you know that's what Jesus did? And all the convoluted theological conversations and conversations about who keeps a building, who doesn't, and all that stuff we do in the church, do you ever stop to think, what did Jesus actually do? He simply walked alongside people. That's what he'd done. And this is no different. Isn't it the case Jesus is often unnoticed as he walks alongside people? I think that Jesus walks alongside people all the time. But do we see him? And I ask that because Jesus didn't suddenly burst into their conversation and announce and say, here I am, it's me. You don't need to be sad anymore. I'm here. He didn't say that. He didn't do that. He just walked alongside them and he asked a simple question. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Well, you know, from these two men point of view, how can this stranger not know what they're talking about? But more to the point, why did they not know it was Jesus speaking to them? They would have known who Jesus was. They would have known what he looked like. And yet, we're told that they didn't recognize him. How can that be? We're told that they relayed to him the account of the women at the tomb and said that some of their companions, the disciples, had gone to the tomb and found it empty. So they knew Jesus. But they didn't recognize him. I'm guessing that all of us in this room know what grief feels like. We've all had the experience of losing someone close to us. And when we're grieving, the world around us can seem very distant. We can live in a kind of bubble where we can see what's happening outside but not fully engage with it. We're all consumed by the grief that we feel at that moment in time. And so it was for these two. We thought this guy was the answer to all their prayers, and it turns out we were wrong. He's gone. He's dead. We had such high hopes, and now they've all been dashed. Have they not been listening to Jesus? They were with him all this time, and yet they don't understand. Do you think Jesus knew that the people he spoke to during his earthly ministry wouldn't get his words? I think he did. I think he knew that. How many times in the scriptures do we see him being exasperated by the disciples, who are the very ones who should get it, but don't so often? We learn by experiencing things, don't we? Actions always speak louder than words. A wee bit of Pictionary there as well. It's quite fortuitous. I didn't know what Margaret was doing. But we learn by seeing, don't we? By experiencing things, we learn. This is why in education now it's all about active learning. We don't sit at desks anymore in classrooms and listen to the teacher for 6 hours. We get involved. We learn by experiencing. I remember reading an article by a youth pastor, and he was saying that he remembers when he was a teenager, a youth pastor in his church or youth club, and he said that every week there would be a talk by the youth pastor, and he said, I can't remember a single word this youth pastor said. Not one. I can't remember a single story that he relayed to us. What I can remember is how he was with us. And that had a big influence on him. He was a role model by the way he lived. And I suppose that youth leader had said millions of words over the years. But actually, what connected with people wasn't what he said, but what he did. And yet Jesus uses words in this passage, doesn't he? He explains to them the scriptures. He said to them, "This, all these things that are happening are things that had to happen, and here's where it says it." The prophets foretold not only Jesus' arrival, but his life and his death and his resurrection. This is stuff they knew. They knew it in their heads, but they'd forgotten it in their hearts. And so he reminds them as they walk, and then as it's getting late and they were nearing dinner time, they asked Jesus to stay, and he does. He sits with them. Isn't that just like Jesus? He journeys alongside us, he walks beside us, and when we invite him in, he comes in and he stays. And if his words don't impact people, his actions certainly do. And it's in the breaking of the bread, that simple action of breaking bread. Suddenly they recognise him. A light switched on. The words in the passage are powerful, but the impact of this moment for these two men is what stays with them and helps them to recognise Jesus in that breaking of the bread. Suddenly, everything made sense. Ever had that light bulb moment where suddenly the penny drops and suddenly everything looks so different? He's not dead. And everything he told them was the truth, not the kind of truth that you elicit from your child when you know they've done something wrong. Do you know, you remember that when you were a child and your mum saying, "Tell me the truth," and you're saying, "I'm telling you the truth," and she's going, "No, you're not." Because mums know everything. Not that kind of truth, but a deep-seated truth that changes lives. And a simple act of breaking bread. And their response, having made the journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and it's been getting late, and they've not had their dinner yet, because it's been interrupted, they get up and at once, immediately, whatever version you read, immediately, at once, no hesitation, they run back to Emmaus. They've come from Jerusalem to Emmaus with their heads bowed low. Now they go back to Jerusalem with a completely different attitude to life. All this happens in a short space of time, and in an encounter with what they thought was a stranger, and in an act of breaking bread, their lives are changed, transformed. No dinner, but they have a newfound purpose. They're transformed from despondent, disheartened men who were full of newfound meaning and energy. And their hearts burned, they said, as they recognised Jesus. Burned. Have you ever felt like that? That your heart burns? You might remember the old hymn, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." The writer of that was a Church of Scotland minister called George Matheson. And he said later that he wrote the hymn in about 10 minutes. And he felt that the words were being dictated to him, rather than him choosing to write them. Was that what it was like for these men? They had trudged from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and now they bounced from Emmaus back to Jerusalem with the presence of the risen Jesus driving them on. Completely different men. Two journeys in our passage this morning. Question is, where are you going? Where are we going? One of these journeys is filled with stress and loss, and the other couldn't be more different. It's the opposite. Renewed energy, meaning, life transformed, joy untold. We're all on a journey, aren't we? We journey with Jesus every day. And sometimes that journey is one that we enjoy very much. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it seems too hard. The road we travel is filled with both hardship and bounty. But do you know where you're going? We live in the most challenging time any of us can remember as a church, with the future uncertain at best. We live in a time where compromise and sacrifice have never been so important. And our journey isn't one that we would choose. Yet here we are. But crucial to our journey is that we recognise Jesus walking alongside us. One of the things that disappoints me at the moment as I go from place to place sometimes is that lack of awareness that during all the hardships, during all the debates and the discussions and all the uncertainty, Jesus is in the midst, just like he was for these two men. He's there. And sometimes we forget that. What we need to do is invite him in to stay with us, to be part of that burning heart that comes from him breaking bread among us. And that we would feel our hearts burn as we allow him to fill us with a resurgent faith. I'm going on a journey soon. It's a wee plug. I'm going to be walking from North Queensferry to St Andrews. It's not because the car's broken down. It's a choice. I'm going to walk the Fife Pilgrim Way. In need of MS. And one of the things that pilgrims did on long journeys was that, I mean, much longer journeys than just from North Queensferry to St Andrews, but one of the things pilgrims did was they prayed the same prayer repeatedly. They just repeated the same short prayer time and time and time again until it became part of their being. And then they repeated another one, and that became part of their being. And the whole point was that they were feeling close to God as they journeyed along the road. They were consciously in the presence of Jesus. We need to be consciously in the presence of Jesus as we walk along whatever road we're on just now. And we need to feel that closeness to God. Whatever the location of the journey we're on, it's imperative that we feel that closeness and we invite Jesus in. And we can do that because we need to have our eyes open to where Jesus is on that journey with us. Despite the confusion and pain that we feel so often at what's happening just now, we can know that he's with us as we walk and talk. When Jesus asked the men what they were talking about, it wasn't because he didn't know already what they were talking about. It's because it was important for them to voice it, to express how they were feeling. And so we in our time, with the chaos of our church, but not just that, the chaos of our world at the moment, we can be confident that Jesus wants us to voice what we're feeling inside, but to have our lives renewed by his closer presence as he takes the bread of our lives and breaks it in front of us and causes our hearts to burn. Whatever's going on, wherever this journey we're on takes us, might you know the presence of the risen Jesus beside you, restoring and refreshing your faith and bringing new vigour to you. Let's pray.